Culture and Natural Resources Appropriations Subcommittee will now come to order. Members, please note that our Democrat ranking member, Representative Chambliss, is excused, not make it here today. Looking forward to seeing him at our next meeting. With the Administrative Assistant, Kiva, please call the roll.
Chair Altman.
Here.
Vice Chair Bell.
Here.
Ranking Member Chambliss is excused. Representatives Abbott.
Here.
Black.
Here.
Botana.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Cassell.
Here.
Cross.
Here.
Gossett Seidman.
Here.
Hart.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Lopez.
Here.
Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Trunau.
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Kiva. Quick reminder, as usual, please make sure that your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or on vibrate. Real excited about our members. This is a fantastic committee, and we have some real expertise. I can't remember being on almost any other committee that's had people with such professional insight and personal experience. So it's I'm really looking forward to a productive two sessions. We'll have an opportunity at the end of our meeting to let everyone share a little bit of information about themselves and maybe some of the things that they're concerned with and their priorities. Love to hear that. I'd like to welcome all our returning members and welcome to all our new members, which are many. What did we say? 30 new Republicans, 9 new Democrats. 39 new members. So those of you first meeting here in the Knott Building will appreciate the steps that you'll get into your daily fitness requirement. We worked real hard at that. We have to have a fit committee, you know, we are. So I'd like to say a few things before we get started. One is, and I believe this in all sincerity, there are times when you face issues that are so imminent, so important, so timely that the time to act is now. And I think the type of issues that we will be addressing on this committee are issues that truly will dictate the future of our state and our quality of life. And you've heard that before, but I don't think there's any time more now that issues of our natural resources, our agriculture production lands, our green belt, truly are in peril. And if we don't solve those challenges these next 2 years, it will be too late. It will be over. I mean, we're at the cusp now. So we're going to hopefully tackle that full head on. You know, extraordinary times require extraordinary people and extraordinary actions. And that's what my expectations is for this committee, and hope that and believe that we'll get the support from our leadership. We're going to build on many of the gains that we've made in the last year or two. Excited about the things that our leadership has done in the past and what's been communicated to me now in the present with our new leadership, a level of support for the issues that we care about, probably I haven't seen since I first started in the legislature. And that was in 03 or 04, a long time ago. So we have a big job to do, and we're going to tackle it head on. I really appreciate what our governor's done for environmental preservation. We hope to build on that. I appreciate that we've had a House and a Senate that also has really stepped up to the plate in the last 2 years, and we're hoping that we can take that to the next level and meet the challenges that is before us that our entire state faces. On that note, we have a relatively brief agenda, but I want us to really get started right away now. We don't have a day to spare, so what we have, I'd like to first introduce our staff. We have Don Pidgett, our budget chief, who I've really gotten to know in just the time we've been here, I'm very impressed with, and Kiva Stinson, our administrative lead. And we will have a new budget analyst on board that we're just going to be hiring in the next 2 weeks. So really excited about that because I know Don has a lot to do. It's tough, just the two of you. I want to let our board know that our administrative staff, they're here to support you and to help you. As well, I would mention, don't hesitate to call them if you need anything. And I present myself. I hope to spend a lot of time and have an opportunity to meet individually with all of you. So feel free to call and set up a time anytime. We're going to be up here pretty much until May, every week but two. So we're definitely, I'm here to meet with you. I'd like to also introduce our Vice Chair, Representative Bell, and couldn't pick a better person to be my Vice Chair. Would you like to say a couple things?
Well, Chair Altman, I'm just honored to serve under you as your Vice Chair. Agriculture is very important to me, not only my district. I come from Polk County, which is the citrus capital of the world at one time, but we have a lot of green and a lot of issues. But also my family, we own agricultural business of the apiaries, bees, which we transport all over the United States. So ag and natural resources is very important to me, and to making sure that the people of the state of Florida have water, good clean water every day when they go to turn on their faucets. So thank you so much. It's a privilege for me to serve under you.
Thank you. So our second item is the subcommittee budget overview. We'll have a 30,000-foot overview of the budget. I know you have this in your packets. I know you probably have a lot of questions. I encourage you to write them down. I don't know if we'll have time to get to all of them today, but this is just the beginning. This is just an overview, and I think it's more to generate questions and lay the groundwork for moving forward. So I'll walk you through a brief PowerPoint presentation, which is intended to give a high-level overview of the Agriculture and Natural Resources Appropriations Subcommittee budget and programs. This will help us prepare for what we will be required to do over the next few months in an effort to produce budget recommendations to our full Appropriations Committee. At the conclusion of my presentation, I will recognize each of you, as I've said, to introduce you, to provide a brief comments, which will include your points of interest and from the presentation. We did this in our Choice Innovation Committee, Chair Tuck. First time I've ever done this. She asked every member to maybe offer a key bit of interest about yourself that nobody knows. Maybe some happy news. No. So that was kind of interesting this morning. By interest, our chairman didn't do it, but not all members. You don't have to, but if you don't, we'll do some research and find something for you. So it's an hour-long meeting, so we know we have a limited agenda, but this is the first of many. Okay, that being said, I'll move right to the presentations. Ask the member to turn their attention to the meeting packet or the presentation up on the screen. And those of you choose to bring a computer, it will be there as well on site. All right, we'll begin. This slide presents a high-level review of our subcommittee's budget for fiscal year 22-23. In the 2022-2023 budget, there are four agencies under our subcommittee's jurisdiction. It's the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the Department of Citrus, the Department of Environmental Protection, and the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Committee. For fiscal year 2022 and 2023, the total combined funding for these four agencies is just over $6.1 billion. The pie chart at the bottom of the slide shows the percentage of funding by agency. Pie chart on the bottom of the slide also shows the percentage of funding by general revenue, state funds, and federal funds. As you can see, our trust funds provide the largest percentage of funding for this subcommittee. The general fund is the fund that is the most discretionary funding source. It can be used for just about any purpose. State funds are less discretionary because they are designed by general law. Federal trust funds are the least discretionary because we all know about those federal purse strings that are attached. The next slide. This slide illustrates a five-year funding history for our subcommittee. The fiscal year 2020 and 2021, you'll see an uptick in funding with the most significant increase in fiscal years 2022 and 2023 due to the growth in general revenue funds, supplemental federal funds as a result of COVID-19. I might add, too, it's not just the level of funding, It's also, I think, a commitment on behalf of our legislature and governor to start reemphasizing funding for the issues in our budget cycle. So the examples of programs that saw a significant increase in funding is the Everglades Restoration Water Projects, Land Acquisition, State Parks, Resiliency, Forestry, Citrus Recovery, Derelict Vessels, and Manatees. Very positive sign, and I think it's going to will carry forth with that level of priority and emphasis on those important issues. This slide is the programs that follow, the major programs that follow each department. And under the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, DACS, some of the major programs are agriculture law enforcement, agricultural water projects, Florida Forest Service, food, nutrition, and wellness, consumer protection, aquaculture, food safety, licensing, and energy. And then Department of Citrus is citrus research, agriculture funding, and marketing. And we all know the problems that our citrus industry is facing. Department of Environmental Protection, the largest of these four entities, their priority items or major projects fall under state lands, water policy and ecosystem restoration, water restoration assistance, environmental access and restoration, waste management, recreation and parks, water resources management, air resources management. And finally, the Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, FWCC, is law enforcement, hunting and game management, habitat and species conservation, freshwater and marine fisheries, and research. Very important set of priorities. These four agencies we'll be hearing from directly, and I'm sure many of them be reaching out to our committee members and are there for additional briefings. The Florida Land Acquisition Trust is a big part of what we do. It's one of the largest trust funds, if not the largest trust fund that we draw from. I'd like to point out that in November 2014, the voters approved a constitutional amendment which redirected one-third of documentary stamps revenue to the Land Acquisition Trust Fund for environmental programs. And this was a referendum that was passed by over 70% of the voters, I think 72%, 75%. And so we know there's a great deal of public support for what we do. This fund is primarily used to pay debt service on environmental bonds, first and foremost, and then are available for a number of environmental programs identified on the chart that you see. It's called the Land Acquisition Trust Fund for a reason. It's for land acquisition, and there's been a lot of debate about how much we do and where that goes, and I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about that here in this committee this year. The Land Acquisition Trust Fund distribution under this slide shows you a little bit about the revenue and the revenue trends. It requires, this slide provides the statutory requirement distribution of funds in the Land Acquisition Trust Fund, the LATF. It also provides revenue estimates, which are provided by the Office of Economic and Demographic Research. Now, I think we have some first-time members here. The EDR, the Office of Economic Demographic Research, one thing I didn't realize when I first come in is just how important that entity is. They basically are a group of economists that do revenue projections that predict the revenue that's coming up, and our budget is built around that. If we don't think we're going to have it, we can't budget it. And I've talked to some of the staff on that committee, and they were explaining to me how they do this. It's very scientific, and if they have some answers they can't find, they'll just take some bones and shake them up and throw them on the table. I mean, it's a pretty much crystal ball type thing, stuff. But and what did Truman say when he talked about economists? He said, just give me a one-arm economist, because every two-arm economist does this or that. It's a science and it's an art, but it's so integral to what we do, and I cannot underestimate. When you start filing bills that go before the Revenue and Estimating Research Committee, and they start putting fiscals on your budget, it's a big deal. So this is a very important slide. The first column under statutory required distributions is a list of the programs that are required to be funded. As mentioned previously, debt service must be provided first before any other distributions are made. It's kind of like dealing with the bank, right? You know, you gotta can't pull money out of the bank you don't have. You got to pay your car loans or you lose your car. Debt service is payment of historically bonded programs like big programs like Florida Forever and the Everglades. And you'll also be aware once we get started, we have a very high bond rating, AAA rated, and we're very protective of that. One of the best, if not the best in the state. So paying those bonds off and being fiscally sound is very important. The second column reflects the actual appropriation for statutorily required programs in the current fiscal year. At the time, in fiscal year 2022 and 2023, the budget was being developed, the legislature used a January revenue estimate of $1.2 million. That was January of last year, of $1.2 billion. Sometimes I get the B and the M mixed up. The $1 billion. That estimate has increased to $1.5 billion per the August Revenue Estimating Conference. So that's good news. Good news, bad news. I mean, it's increasing because this Land Acquisition Trust Fund is primarily funded through dock stamps and tax on deeds. So the more building, more construction, and on loans and mortgages, dock stamps, more economic building activity, more revenue that you have coming into the Land Acquisition Trust Fund. The bad news from a from a land management point of view, that's growth that we have to pay for, and that's impacts of people that we have to accommodate for. But the logic between using those dock stamps, that revenue source, it makes a lot of sense, because the more growth you have, the more need that you have to acquire more land, the more parkland, the more environmental preservation. So it's a tie. And I think what's most important, we follow that intent in my mind. That was the intent of creating the dock stamps. As you know, in many times trust funds, there's an effort to kind of raid them, maybe turn them into a tax rather than like a user fee. So that's the lifeblood. The reason those numbers are just skyrocketing is because of this incredible growth that we're having. Also, the amount of the value of property, the higher the mortgages, the higher the dock stamp is, the higher the cost of property. So that shows a change. The second column reflects the actual appropriation for statutory required programs for the fiscal year. I think I might be counting. I already read that one, didn't I? Yeah. And so we go to the final bullet point. Due to the cooling effect occurred in the housing market, the August Revenue Estimating Conference is projecting a downward trend in dock stamp revenue, dock stamp tax revenue. So we're beginning to see a little bit of slowdown in growth. So the revenue beginning in the fiscal year 2022 and 2023 is going from $1.5 billion to $1.3 billion. So a little bit of still a hot number, a high number. But dock stamps historically, as our staff has informed me, you know, they've historically been volatile, so much based and dependent on the economy. I know in Brevard County, in my neck of the woods, it has simply not slowed down. And I think that's true in a lot of areas of Florida, maybe even got hotter because of the economic activity. And we do know people still want to move to Florida. The next slide, talks a little bit about the Everglades restoration and protection of Florida's water resources in fiscal year 2022 and 2023. Gives you some information about the Everglades restoration and protection of Florida water resources. It's been one of the highest priorities for the environmental issues over the past 4 years. The governor's goal for these programs was $2.5 billion in funding over 4 years, from 2018 to 2024. The legislature actually, our appropriations actually exceeded that goal by $800 million. So we've seen a total of $3.3 billion for Everglades restorations and water projects. So this gives you, this list gives you an idea of the programs that are funded in these two programs. Something that's been new to this process is this Resilient Florida Grant Program. Resilience is something that started under Governor DeSantis. It establishes a statewide program. It's a statewide program addressing the issue of flooding and sea level rise and how we're going to adapt to that. This new program was created in 2021. It's helping assist communities with resiliency planning and provide a state matching program for these programs that addresses these flooding and sea level issues. Certainly, we're seeing a lot of those in our districts. To fund this program in the 2021 legislature, they dedicated a small percentage of dock stamp revenue to the Resilient Florida Grant Trust Fund. To date, over $1 billion in funding has been approved from multiple fund sources, including general revenue, Florida Resilient Trust Fund, and federal funds. That is significant. I don't know if I've ever seen a program that just kind of emerged and was funded at such a healthy level. Perhaps not since the beginning of Florida Forever. It's P2000 under Governor Martinez. Maybe it was another example of that in the 80s where it was such a quick ramp up. I know we'll be having a lot of discussion about those programs. Now, land acquisition trust funds. Florida is nationally recognized for having one of the most premier conservation and recreational lands programs. The Florida Forever program is the top in the nation. This program was created back in 2001 and has been hugely successful. It was started under the leadership of Governor Jeb Bush. This program is very, very important. As I mentioned, with Florida's population continuing to grow at such a rapid rate, it is critical that we conserve and preserve land and natural resources to address the impacts of those changes, or it will be too late. Otherwise, many of the state's unique natural ecosystems would be lost if we do not do this, and we have no time. This is not a future goal. This has got to happen now. Three of our agencies have land acquisition programs which are relative to their agency mission. 5-year funding history below, and this graph that you see increased from fiscal years 2021, 2022, and 2022 to 2023, reflecting the legislature's commitment to preserving our natural resources. This is a very good slide. It shows you a significant ramp up. Now, on that point, though, if you go back to 2021 to 2026, you'll see that there was a rapid drop off. And as we move forward, I'm going to try to get you, if we can get a long-term impact of funding for land acquisition from the beginning of Florida Forever. I think that would give us a very interesting direction, how we were up there and then we dropped like a cliff, but now we're beginning to build back up to where we were. I really want to like, just like that song, The Way We Were, Barbra Streisand, right? That's what I hope we can do in our land acquisition program. Yeah, maybe that'd be our theme song for our committee, The Way We Were. We may get Barbara come here and sing it personally. Another issue that has emerged that we're real excited about is the Florida Wildlife Quarter Act. We have our committee member that right here behind me, yep, Representative Trunow, who ran that bill last year. And so we got another expert. Real excited about this program. You'll be hearing a lot about it, and hopefully we'll do some really innovative things with it. But the Florida Corridor Act became law in 2021, Rep. Trunow. The goal is to better connect Florida's natural lands and prevent habitat fragmentation due to growth while protecting Florida's drinking water resources. The connectivity of these species allow wildlife to roam freely while helping protect natural resources from pollution and overuse. That connectivity will have a significant impact on the quality of those parcels. It will be exponential in terms of making them viable. The legislature has approved $600 million to this effort, no small amount. Next slide, and these are going through issues that our state is confronting as we speak. These are all the hot issues, and I think staff did a wonderful job of highlighting them. Manatees, we all know the plight of the manatee. This slide gives you some background on the struggle of one of our beloved aquatic mammals, the manatee. In 2021, it marked a record year for the number of manatee deaths, doubling the five-year average. Starvation due to the loss of seagrass has helped to, due to loss of seagrass, that has been the precedent to do some unthinkable trials that we hope work, but that literally is supplemental feeding of the manatees, a very controversial issue. But it's sobering to think that our manatee, our state mammal, sea mammal, has got to a point where it can't survive in the natural habitat. We have to feed them. Over $25 million in funding was appropriated in the 2022 legislature to provide new and innovative solutions that may help reduce future deaths. So obviously, supplemental feeding, we hope, is going to be a temporary thing. We've got to somehow restore our estuaries, estuarine habitat, our seagrass beds, a very challenging and difficult thing to do. But I think it's doable. But it's a relatively new science. I participated in seagrass planting, and either the weather washed them out, or if you don't improve the water quality, they're going to die like they did before. And even the manatees came and ate them, too. So they were hungry. So we got a lot of work to do there. Beach projects, I know we've had our challenges there with two hurricanes. The Beach Management Funding Assistance Program is a state cost-sharing program that works with local and federal entities to implement beach and inlet management projects to restore and maintain the health of our beautiful sandy beaches. This program has a recurring appropriation of $50 million from the Land Acquisition Trust Fund. Chart below provides a five-year funding history with significant increases in the last two fiscal years. You may recall the legislature recently passed Senate Bill 4A during this December special session, which included an additional $100 million in funding for fiscal year 2022-2023 to assist local governments with damages sustained during Hurricane Ian and Hurricane Nicole. It has also included $50 million to assist property owners with beach erosion costs. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from DEP on beach renourishment, and it's a fascinating issue, and it's a very challenging one because it's not just throwing beach on the sand. You got to find that sand to throw on the beach. It's just not necessarily easy to get. So we got some real challenges there, but we must protect our beaches. They're so important to our economy and our identity. And then finally, water projects. I think water projects, been doing this now for almost 20 years. Water projects, I think, are some of the most meaningful, enjoyable part of being a legislature. So I'm excited to be here, a part of the committee that helps decide that, because it's probably the most participatory process in the whole legislature. When I first started, we had what we called CBER, member budget request. Each member got a budget request. Under statute, it required a hearing from the local delegation. And those have kind of faded away. But water projects have not. So every member, it's the one thing, every member comes to first our committee and presents projects that are significant and important to their area that we will review and be a part of our agenda, a part of our budget that we recommend. These local government projects for stormwater, wastewater, and drinking water are also funded. We fund them by the legislature, typically with a local match, and they're referred to as local projects. The graph below provides a five-year funding history. As you can see, reflects a significant increase in fiscal year 2022-2023 due to the state's strong economy and available revenues, but I also say due to a commitment on behalf of our government, our governor, and our leadership in the House and Senate to clean water and healthy water here in the state of Florida. So the notable issues that we, some notable issues that we will be addressing throughout this upcoming session will be land acquisition trust funds, the potential decline in documentary stamps if the economy takes a plunge like we see that could happen on a national level. That's a big if. We hope that, well, not hope and pray that won't happen. Wildfire suppression, which Florida is a leader, but it's a never-ending process. State parks, land management, and citrus recovery. These are very, very important issues that will be, and there'll be a few more. So this concludes my presentation. Do keep in mind that we'll have plenty of time in our upcoming interim committee weeks to dive deeper into these committee programs, including presentations by the agencies where we can address specific issues of concern. As I mentioned, feel free to call staff and also call those department agencies. They will come and they will meet with you. Okay, I would like to next go to introductions. Like for every member, each member will start from the left to introduce themselves and where they represent, and a little bit of interesting information that we may not know about you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Johanna Lopez. I represent District 43, which is the East Bar of Orlando. I'm a former school board member, a former teacher, and a mom, and a grandmother. Thank you for this opportunity, and also I'm looking forward to working together for a better Florida. Thank you so much.
Okay, I have your interesting fact. A former teacher of the year. Yeah. Major achievement.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is State Representative Diane Hart. I come from Hillsborough County, where you know water is really critical to me. We had Piney Point that poisoned so much of our water, and we've been having a major issue in getting it completely cleaned up. So I wasn't looking forward to being on the committee, but I am very happy to be on the committee because I think it's critical. I like the fact that we're going to be able to deal with food, and hopefully we'll deal with some of this, our food insecurities and deserts in our communities when we talk about food and food safety. Probably something that most people don't know is I am the great-grandmother of five, and I'm happy to be on this committee.
Hello, everyone. I'm Peggy Gossett-Seidman, District 91. This is Boca Raton, Highland Beach, and Western Palm Beach County. I've lived on the Intercoastal Waterway for 31 years. I'm a scuba diver. I've owned a boat since I was four. Well, my parents owned it. I'm thrilled to be on this committee as a town commissioner in Highland Beach. I work diligently in the area. I started making a list, and I can't read it all now, but I've been out on the FWC boats. I promoted, and we hired a marine patrol boat for our police department because we had two deaths and one critical injury in less than 2 years on the waterway. COVID just filled the waterway with boats. Manatees are in peril. We have many of our residents feeding them the lettuce and putting out the water hoses. I'm just thrilled to be on here to help out with many ways. We also have a major ag reserve problem in Palm Beach County with homes and businesses encroaching into the ag reserve. It is the number one county for food production in the winter months for the entire country. We've got, I think, about 500,000 acres in ag, and so both areas are a very vital concern of mine, including swales, beach restoration, infringement on the coastal dune management. So I will be happy to participate at any level in this committee, and thank you very much for this election.
Good afternoon. I am Representative Lindsey Cross from District 60 in eastern Pinellas County. It includes portions of St. Petersburg, Pinellas Park, and Lilman in our unincorporated area, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be on this committee. Thank you, Chair Altman and Vice Chair Bell. Really looking forward to serving under your leadership, and I'm also thrilled with the direction from the Speaker Renner and his commitment to conservation and protecting the Florida Wildlife Corridor. My background is as an environmental scientist and working in the conservation advocacy world, so I have been on the other side of this aisle advocating for funding for our excellent programs, Florida Forever and our other water and land conservation programs. So I look forward to making sure that we are making the adequate investments to protect our parks for people, for wildlife, for our water supply. It's something that's near and dear to my heart, so I'm just so honored to be on this committee. My first job when I moved to Florida was at a scuba shop where I earned my dive master certification and went on to use that volunteering with youth in the Tampa Bay area and doing science underwater research with them in Tampa Bay and the Florida Keys.
My colleague is a hard one to follow. Representative Hillary Cassell, I represent District 101 in Broward County. It is a coastal district, but obviously also comprises a lot of agriculture. First and foremost, I want to thank the chair and vice chair. I really look forward to working under your leadership and thankful to the speaker for giving me this opportunity to be a part of such an important committee for Florida's future. I shared earlier today in the other agriculture committee a fun fact about me that I don't think most people know is I am actually the granddaughter of one of the largest tomato growers in all the South. Our farm was in Delray. So if you ever find yourself on Flavor Pick Road, that was my grandfather's farm. So my fondest memories are of that family history that I have and being on that farm and the memories that were made there. And I know how important it is to our state. There are so many things that this committee is going to address that we need to address, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, today, but really for our future. And I'm honored to be a part of this, and I really look forward to working with all of you.
I'll go last. Yeah.
Well, good afternoon again. I'm Melanie Bell, and I represent Polk County, which is District 49. And as I said earlier, our family business is apiaries, which known fact is 80% of your produce market has to be pollinated by a bee. But if you have a watermelon, a bee has to land on that plant 52 times to cross-pollinate to make one watermelon. So the bees are very important in our ecosystem. But one fun fact about me, but probably nobody knows, is, and this is not probably too environmentally because of water, but I am the hydrangea queen of my town. I grow hydrangeas. I love it. I have over 450 plants in my yard and over probably 3,000 clippings a year. And what I clip them every year and then take them to nursing homes and people that don't receive flowers all the time. So I love hydrangeas. So, but they're, you know, hydro is water, so it takes a lot of water. But thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sam Killebrew from Imperial Polk County. I'm in my last 2 years. Anything unusual about me? Probably everything. I have a monkey in my office, and it's my emotional support animal. So that's probably about as detailed as I can get on that.
Well, I certainly cannot top that. I'm Dean Black from Florida House District 15. I do not have a monkey in my office. Yet, he says. However, fun fact about me, with my wife, one of the first dates we went on was a five-day, five-night canoe trip down the Ocklawaha River where we encountered monkeys. We did not bring any of them home with us, but she was an Ohio girl, and I wanted to introduce her to the wilds of Florida. Being an eighth-generation native, I really appreciated it and thought she should, too, after I introduced her to cottonmouth moccasins and alligators and such. She decided that she could live with that, and so I figured I better not let her get away. We've been married for now 24 years. I hail from Jacksonville, up in the northeastern part of the state. It also covers Nassau County. My family came from Georgia in 1803 to raise cattle. I raise cattle today. I'm a businessman as well. I operate automotive franchises. I've owned and operated a number of other business types. I've got some experience with row crops. We have 320 beehives on our property. We raise and sell beef cattle, as well as some timber, and we're looking into acquiring some timber as well. I'm an avid outdoorsman, as you might be able to deduce, and I look forward to helping participate in the vision that you elucidated so well, Mr. Chairman. We are at a turning point in our state's history. The secret is out, if it ever was a secret. that Florida is a fantastic place to live and raise a family. And if we take actions now, we can make sure that this sustained growth doesn't destroy the very reason why people want to move here in the first place. So I look forward to participating, and thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Toby? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Toby Overdorf. I am in District 85, which covers the north half of Martin County and the southern half of St. Lucie County on the East Coast. A master's degree in biology as well as an environmental MBA. Know a little bit about spending some money on the environment and restoring some different items as well, as I also have a civil engineering and environmental consulting firm back on the East Coast. This is now my junior term, if you will, so third term in, and enjoying what we do here and looking forward to working with you, Chairman and Vice Chair. Certainly have a great team there, so we're looking to move ahead there. I originally worked on, way back when, on my master's thesis on the Kissimmee River restoration, and that was in 1995, and then actually saw the final fruition of the Kissimmee River being completed 2 years ago, and was able to be there for that ribbon cutting. So that was just a fantastic crowning moment of what we can do in Florida in putting things back correctly. And a little known fact, I love, I actually taught shark biology. I've been all about sharks. And I have had the great pleasure of diving with great white sharks and both in a cage and out of a cage. So think about the next time you see a Suburban going down the street, think about it alive and with teeth. And that's about the average size of the animal that I would dive with. So thank you.
Well, we're glad you're here and you have all your fingers and toes and arms.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Shane Abbott. I'm from District 5, which includes Walton, Holmes, Washington, Jackson, and Calhoun County. I believe it's the second largest district geographical-wise. I also have in my repertoire of Calhoun County, I believe is the only county in the state that does not have a state park, so I'm hoping to rectify that here soon. I am a pharmacist by trade and a hobby farmer on the side. And a little known, unknown fact, except for some of y'all heard it earlier today, is I raise goats. So I sell drugs legally and raise goats.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. James Buchanan, Sarasota County, District 74. And you're right. Over the last couple of years, we've been very bold in this committee and others in this space, whether that's, you know, reoccurring funding for resiliency over time, or what we did, Representative Trunow did with the wildlife corridor bills. You know, we've been very bold in this committee, and I expect, in looking at your presentation and knowing our speaker, I think we're going to continue to be bold in this committee, and I look forward to serving under your leadership. And I'm just trying to decide in terms of the interesting fact, how raunchy we want to get. No. a lot of people don't realize, I actually, I haven't really shared this either. My undergrad, I was going to school actually originally for marine biology. And then I took my first real estate class. It was here at FSU. And the first slide that the professor put on the board said, 2/3 of the world's wealth had been accumulated through real estate. So I changed majors, but it's still an area of passion for me. I, as a kid, interned actually at Moat Marine for a number of years and lived down the street from there, actually. And it's fascinating. The two manatees I took care of when I was there, I trucked out each day on a hand cart, 144 heads of lettuce, some carrots, kale, apples, Hugh and Buffett, they're still there. So.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for having me. My name's Adam Botana. So I represent coastal Lee County and Collier County. So Sanibel, down Boca Grande, up to Boca Grande, and down into Naples now. Water quality is a big concern of my district. So I look forward to working with you on this committee. You guys did a great job last year, and we're looking forward to do a great job these next 2 years. Fun fact, some of you know, grew up in the carnival business. Actually, still am in the carnival business, so I'm a carny and a state rep. So that's my fun fact.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Keith Trunow, and I represent District 26 in Lake County. I'm in the agribusiness. I grow a lot of different things. I'm happy to serve on this committee, and I'm happy to be a part of a lot of things that have happened in the last couple of years, and look forward to living wildly as we move forward.
Thank you. And living wildly is the slogan for the Wildlife Corridor movement. I wanted to explain that. But we hope to live wildly here and really, really meet those challenges. I'm from Brevard County. I serve on the Space Coast. I work at the Kennedy Space Center. But I grew up, my mother and father both had farms in South Carolina. My father's great-grandfather lost his farm in the Depression in the South. And so my father's dad was a sharecropper. So he worked as a sharecropper in South Carolina for many years and moved to Florida. And because of the space program, and was in farming and landscaping, ornamentals, and then later in real estate. And I grew up with agriculture. I grew up stacking sod on Desert Ranch and down in Belglade. And if you stack sod, you know what hard work is. And that's before they used the conveyor belts. But in the process, we'd go out to remote areas, and you would see the wildlife in Florida in the 60s. And it was stunning. It was like the African Serengeti. It was like Alaska is now in the wild areas, the amount of birds and wildlife. I remember seeing Florida panthers fishing to where you could just catch fish at will. And when you see the decline, when you experience that decline, it really hurts. So my entire life I've been involved in conservation and trying to protect what's so special for Florida. In stream flat fact, on Thanksgiving Day, I became a grandfather, Rep Hart. Amelia Quinn, so she's 6 weeks old and already has her name spread upon the public record. But it's a wonderful thing. I'd highly recommend it for everyone. I'm sure we have a few grandparents here. But, wow, this is a great committee. I'm even more impressed with the amount of intellect and experience and commitment that we have on this committee. I think God calls people to a purpose when it's most needed, and I feel that way about our committee members. So I am looking forward to working with you as we move forward. And any other business questions, concerns? Okay, Rep. Kilbrew moves that we rise.